I'm Paul Gonin, and I'm a cubic thinker. And my talk today will be about first steps in using OpenSUSE Cubic, which I have been using for a few months, coming from an OpenSUSE background. And I got to make a lot of interesting discoveries in that journey, and I'm going to share it today. Thanks for all the attendance today on a Sunday. It's very impressive, very committed into OpenSUSE. And I've been working at SUSE for a few years now, and recently I started to work more on containers, containerization, and I wanted to myself increase my knowledge and develop my skills, so I decided to use for my personal use Cubic more and more. And I will show you today about Cubic. So first, what is Cubic? It's defined as the container as a service platform based on Kubernetes atop OpenSUSE Micro OS. Then you might ask, what's OpenSUSE Micro OS? And as a few pointed the last few days, Micro refers not to its size, but to the fact that it's specialized for microservices architecture. And it's designed to host container workloads with automated administration and patching. And being the suited environment for running containers in the OpenSUSE environment. So as of today, what can you do or not with Cubic? Well, it's a perfect platform to host containers. It's ready for that. You can run containers with Docker, works perfectly out of the box. And you can also run containers with Podman, RunC, which is kind of a cutting-edge technology, recent technology for containers. You can also deploy Kubernetes, because you get Kubernetes packages for OpenSUSE are available. Although QBADM is not available yet, we have some issues we're still working on, at least the last time I checked. And supposedly you could deploy Kubernetes by hand, or as it is called, the hard way, which is a 14 chapters book with 2,500 lines of documentation. I think it works. I never tried myself, and I never had anyone reporting it worked, so I'm not claiming it works, but it should. Anyway, my talk today won't be about Kubernetes, because as I pointed out, I used it for personal workloads, professional environment mostly, but still one user also, and running that on Kubernetes would be overkill, and I wanted to focus on as the cloud native foundation pointed out, the path to microservices, well, first you need to know about containers, you need to containerize, you need to run some containers. Orchestration can come once you're more comfortable and familiar with it. So I will show some of the things I've been doing with Cubic. So how to install OpenSUSE Cubic? What are your options there to run Cubic? Well, you can get the ISO to run on bare metal on virtualized environment. This is actually what the official website offers currently, cubic.opensuse.org. There is a download site, a download button, sorry, that points to an ISO that you can use to install a Cubic. It's very traditional, it's using the same building blocks as other OpenSUSE distribution. It's actually, I think it's not a distribution, it's a flavor of Tumbleweed, if I'm right. So it's basically a Tumbleweed, but built with different choices, architecture, and a specialized workflow for the installation. But it's basically Tumbleweed packages and Tumbleweed building blocks. So you have the option to use the Yast installer, which Kikas. You can use AutoYast for automation of installation and very similar way that people are doing it for years. And the ISO is tested in OpenQA as part of the Tumbleweed testing workflow. Thanks to great guys, we're doing the testing, which means already we have a lot of testing on the ISO, which is done, like testing RunC, testing Docker, testing rootless containers. A lot of great things are done, and QBADM is already being tested and fails currently, which is something we hope will be fixed soon. So, when you install it, you have the option to use the ISO to install on bare metal and virtualized environment. It's a very traditional installer for people who are familiar with OpenSUSE. Although there are new roles that you can, at the start of the installation, there are new roles to pick from. The first one is the OpenSUSE MicroOS, the plain node. That's the one I've been using to deploy on a bare metal server and run containers. There are other options, the unconfigured cluster node, the admin dashboard, and the cluster node. Those are meant for using with Kubernetes and building cluster, but I'm not covering this today. And it's a very simplified workflow to actually install it, very, very quick, because you basically have to configure your system administrator password. Then you have the storage choices to make, package selection, and boom, it performs the installation. It's very quick. The fact that it's a separate installer makes it very, very easy to get started, because you don't get confused with all the options and find the right way. It really gives you an easy path into installing it. There are not so many options, just things that make sense for someone, even without knowledge of what you want to do with containers. You can just install it. It's just going to ask you for standard parameters of installing a distribution. Then there are also virtualization disk images, which are built with the OBS and Kiwi. So I've put a little label on it. It's still under development. It's not tested. It's not going in OpenQA. It doesn't get a lot of manual testing yet. So it's for people who are interested to try with disk images. Those disk images are available for KVM, for Xen, VMware, and Hyper-V. And also there is an OpenStack disk image. I put the link here if you want to get them and experiment. So about the virtualization disk images, why would you want to use them? Well, the installation process, as I described, is quite quick, because it doesn't ask you to provide a lot of information. But the actual installation process of writing all the packages into the system is still quite long. It still takes some time. If you do it once, well, you can afford it. But if you plan to do it over and over, it's a significant amount of time. And the disk images are actually much faster for getting started. I would say my estimation is that if you use the installation process, it will take you end-to-end about 15 minutes to get your system installed, while with disk images, you can boot in about 2 minutes. So it's a significant time you can save. And also, for some use cases, like if you're using a continuous integration or you're constantly deploying new systems, it's definitely a time saver if you're using a virtualized environment. If you are to use the virtualization disk images, you need to provide some information when you boot the system so that it's personalized to your case. And for that, the choice has been made to use CloudInit, which comes from the cloud world. I think initially it's basically from AWS EC2, and it's been extended to be used in various situations. And we're using it now for CloudInit, for Cubic. Obviously, for the OpenStack images, it's built in OpenStack, so you can provide the Cloud Init file in the given location in the bootstrap of your instance. And it will be used when you bootstrap the instance. But what if you're using virtualization? Because this is not meant to be used. It's not a typical use case in virtualization to use Cloud Init. So a Cloud Init file is basically a simple text file that contains the information you want to set on your system on the first boot of that system. So here I provided one where the time zone is set, a password is set, but you can provide SSH keys as well. You can set your NTP servers, DNS, whatever system configuration. There is a lot of automation you can do with Cloud Init. You can also provide endpoints to configuration management system like Chef, Ansible, EventSalt is possible. So you basically provide anything, everything you need to configure and start your system and possibly hand over to other more advanced configuration solutions like Salt and the likes. And specifically, so it works quite naturally on clouds. It's a very typical use in clouds. But for virtualization, the way you can use it is actually, there is an option to use it as a local provider. And for that, you actually create your files, put them into a CD-ROM file system, create a CD-ROM disk image, and you attach that CD-ROM at the boot of your image, and Cloud Init will look as one of the part of the workflow. It checks for the metadata service for cloud server providers, doesn't find it, then it will look for a CD-ROM, and it will get the it will see that there is a CD-ROM attached, and it will look for the files that configure the system. And that's how we've been using it with Cubic. And that works with, and it's been tested actually with all the, also with the, all the virtualization technologies. We've been using it with VMware, with Hyper-V, with KVM, with Xen. It works on all these environments. Then there is a last option, which is Raspberry Pis. So for that, you need, well, a Raspberry Pi, 64-bit one. You need an SD card, and you need to ask nicely to Richard Brown, because he's the one who's been building that image. And most likely, he will be able to tell you if it works or not, and if you should be using it. But also, you should let him know that you're going to use it, because he will be very happy that you're using it. Because we like, that's an area where we'd like to have Cubic being used on a regular basis in a short time. So it's definitely a place where we'd like to see people more and more using it. So that's about installing it. There are a lot of options. We're working, and definitely we will be considering other options. We have the power of the OBS for us. We're not, at this time, we have quite a lot options on the table, and for the community we have so far, it's already quite a lot. But we could definitely extend this later on and build images for public clouds. That's something that we can, if there is a demand and if there are people who are working on this, it will definitely happen. More boards, more ARM boards, since Cubic is Tumbleweed based. Basically, the support of Tumbleweed on ARM boards will mean that Cubic will be supported as well. I would personally really like to see Cubic on the Pine 64, but we'll see about this. And then, so you have it installed. Now what? Well, you can start containers as soon as it is installed. By default, Docker is installed. I'm not 100% sure anymore because it's been a few months ago, but I think you have to start by enabling and starting the Docker daemon as a first step, or not. I'm not sure 100%. It's not. Okay, so I had to, but now it's not anymore. Yeah, I wanted to look into OpenQA if it was still the case, but yeah, time and stuff. Anyway, so yeah, right out of the box, you can run containers. No need to start installing Docker. Really, just you have installed Kubik, you can start pull containers. As I showed here, you just pull the OpenSUSE leap container. It gets the image. You start, you run a container with it, and bam, that's it. So it's very quick to install, and you can run your containers out of the box quickly. So it's this is what it is for, running containers. So that works. That was actually a very positive experience because I was very happy. I just install it, I run a container. That's so easy. It doesn't take much time. Then next, well, the default installation, I'm missing stuff. In my case, I was missing tmux, so I say, okay, let's install packages. And this is where the fun begins. So what I do, I'm an OpenSUSE user. I've been using Tumbleweed for a few years now. I do zipper, zipper search, tmux. Yeah, it's there, of course. It's in Tumbleweed, so it's available for Kubik as well. So I do zipper in, tmux, gets all the packages. I'm happy, it works well. Then downloads everything, and boom, error. Like, what? What? I can't zipper anymore? What's this? And it says something, I have to read it. Yeah, something about an RPM lock. I'm like, woof, this thing is not working yet. Well, thing is, Kubik has a new architecture. And what makes it different from a regular Tumbleweed or OpenSUSE leap deployment is it's using a root read-only root file system, and it's using transactional updates which are atomic and all of this. I actually heard about all of this. I watched talks about this. I was like, yeah, this is very very impressive. It looks like the future, but I actually didn't realize what it meant. And this is what it means. You cannot use zipper anymore. You cannot install a package. So I went on the RC channel and I said, okay, sorry, me again, zipper doesn't work, should I report a bug? Well, Richard was very nice and he said, yeah, well, no, because that's supposed to be like this. Ah, it's supposed to be like this, okay. And I got some explanation. So there is actually a new command that is meant to be used here. It's transactional update package install, and then the name of the package. That will actually look very like zipper. You will see it's actually pulling the packages, installing and everything and so on. But it will explain that actually it's writing all of this into a new snapshot of your BetterFS file system. And it's not actually installing it yet. It's just in that new file, in that new snapshot. So it looks very, once you have understood this, it's very easy. You just replace zipper in by transactional update package in, and that's it. Boom, you can install packages. Well, you install a package, well, then you want to use what you have installed. You typed, not found. Like, oh. It said it worked. What's wrong? Well, it's installed in a new snapshot, which means it's not installed on the current system you're running. It's not installed on your running snapshot. So you have to reboot the system at this stage. So you reboot. You do the reboot, and then you wait. Well, in my case, I installed on bare metal, so I had to wait. And actually, in my case, it was an HP server, so I had to wait. I don't know what these servers are doing at boot, but man, they have some magic tricks they do at boot to make sure everything's fine. I mean, but it takes forever. I mean, it's actually longer to boot that server than using a virtual machine, a new virtual machine. But yeah, at least I'm on bare metal. I mean, I'm not. All right, so I reboot, and then, yeah. It's available, I can use it. Well, in that case, kubeadm, I can display the version, I cannot start bootstrapping a Kubernetes cluster, but soon. Then, now you're very, very happy with yourself, you can install packages, so what you do? Well, install everything you need. So you start transactional packaging. I've been to a very good talk about TLS and Apache 2 and everything, so I want to do the same. So I install Apache 2, and then I install the Hydratate, the module for Apache 2, and I reboot. Well, wrong. Something's wrong here. Do you know what? Yeah? Yeah. No, the thing here, the error is, you think you have installed two packages, you have installed two set of packages. Well, actually, you have installed on the first snapshot, and then, so you have created a new snapshot, and you have installed Dehydrated and Dehydrated by Apache 2, and then you have installed in a new snapshot Apache 2, two different snapshots. And actually, when you will reboot, you will use that last snapshot, and you will be missing Dehydrated. So, well, here I really recommend the talk from Ignaz yesterday on transactional updates, deep dive. Everything's explained in more details here. It was really just about showing my experience with it and how you can fast forward your experience by learning all these things. So you have to, you can't just do as you really have to plan what you need and install everything at once, or maybe there are other options like using a shell, install stuff. I mean, there are definitely possible ways to optimize, but you have to be careful here because you're using different snapshots. You reboot, you only use the last snapshot. Okay, so that's about transactional update. One thing you need to know about Cubic, as I wish I had taken a picture of Richard and Alex during the talk when he has this quote that says, "No sysadmin ever wanted to touch a system," or something like this. I really wish I had a picture to illustrate it, because here you will have to learn about something called a reboot manager, because updates on Cubic are installed automatically, which means every time there is a new update, it will prepare, it will get all the updates, install on a new snapshot, and it will tell the reboot manager that the system needs to be rebooted. And then the reboot manager is using a configuration file, which here I pointed, the reboot manager conf. And it actually sets a time window that during which the system will be rebooted when it's asked, when a reboot has been asked. So here, on my system, that's the default with Cubic. It's going to reboot at 3:30 UTC, which in Prague time currently is 5:30 in the morning. So you can check with the reboot manager CTL command what's the status, if a reboot is going to happen soon. And you can, one very important file you need to look is the transactional update log, because it will tell you all the updates that has been that have been applied to your system without asking any consent of you. It just depends. It just does it all the time. And so Cubic is tumbleweed based, which means updates are quite frequent. My mileage is that it's many times a week. I don't know, 2-3 times a week that you will get updates, which means you will get your system rebooted 2-3 times a week. I was actually very, very disappointed, because when I started to use Cubic, after a few days, I looked at my uptime and I was like, it was very small, and I was like, oh, this is, it's always broken. No, it's actually, it's just rebooting, because it's always getting these new updates and automatically apply them to your system. Well, then if you have started containers, in some cases what you want is a container that's going to be a long life type of application. I don't know, some sort of web application, some sort of daemon, anything. You're going to start, and every time you get documentation on how to start a container, with Docker, most of the time it doesn't use that option, which is the restart always, because, well, with Cubic, you really have to have your containers to restart automatically, otherwise it will be always off because it's rebooting and you lose your containers. So, recently we've started to have Podman available. That's another way of running containers on Cubic. It replaces, or it's an alternative to the client of the Docker open source engine. So you can just install it with the transactional update package in Podman. You reboot your system, and then you can start pulling images here from the Docker image hub, and you can start running containers with Podman. Works just also, you just have to install it. It's not out of the box like Docker, but it's very easy to start using it on Cubic. I put the link to a blog post that goes into details of how to use Podman on OpenSUSE. Okay. Since we don't have orchestration yet, it's very, very simple command line stuff, I started to use a project which is called Portainer. Portainer gives you a web interface to manage your container host, to manage your containers. I know some people don't like too much GUIs. They think command line is the best. And I agree, sometimes command line is much more powerful, especially if you want to automate. But when you're learning, when you're discovering a new technology, the advantage of GUIs, and especially Portainer, it really gives you good information of everything you should consider in your system related to containers. I lost the slide. It's actually very easy to start because it's a container. It comes as a container, so you just have to start a container. There is a one line to start the container on your system, and then you just access it with your browser. You just have some initial steps to create an admin user, give it a password, get started, and then you have this web UI, very classical, where everything related to your containers can be managed and you can collect all the information. So you get information about your containers which are running, which ones are stopped. You can get information about which images are available in your system. You can manage your volumes, your network. And Docker has grown and containers have grown much, much more complicated than it used to be. And that's a very good way of looking at what's your system status, how things are currently running. And especially in network-related topics can become sometimes a little bit confusing where you're at, and that gives you a good view of what are your networks currently on your system. Okay, so conclusion. OpenSUSE Cubic is fun. Honestly, it is. It's very pleasant to use if you want to run containers. In my case, I didn't like, well, for some time, I ran containers on my workstation. And that was a bad idea. I mean, I think it was a bad idea because, well, supposedly you have some isolation, but then you start to use your better FS sub volumes, you create images, then they stay, and it can really quickly create a mess. I've always been that kind of person who likes to run, I mean, to have a workstation for working, but it can be off, it can be destroyed, it doesn't need to be kept in a good condition. And anything that needs to be, any workload that needs to be run kind of production should be out of the workstation, or even testing should be on a different environment, not testing on the workstation. I don't like it too much. You can actually use it on your workstation, like if you want to have some virtual machine or anything like this, but I like it to have outside. And that's a very good environment to actually run containers. It's very quick. You can learn how to use containers, build containers, everything you want to learn with containers, you can do it on Cubic. And it's very stable, actually. It's a tumbleweed, so it's stable as tumbleweed, so quite solid. It's tested in OpenQS, so it gets a lot of testing. And it supports all the platforms that tumbleweed is supporting as well. It's a very wide set of systems you can run it on. Modern systems are quickly supported, but you get also some rather old systems also supported. In my case, I really used a very, very old HP servers that basically we don't use it anymore because we cannot use it for virtualization, we cannot do much with it, but it's great for running containers. And, you know, I really discover what's the reality of admin-free. I mean, that system also, I never care about it. It's just updated all the time, always. Every time a new patch is available, it's applied. And that's there's some kind of magic there because you really stop caring about like petting that system. You don't have to connect and say, okay, what are the updates? Okay, I'm going to apply. It's done. It's always at the best level, out of the box. And I trust it to be very safe. I'm very fortunate nothing wrong happened to me, so I didn't have to roll back to a snapshot, the last everything you learned that is great, that you actually never did it, you just wish you don't have to do it. But I kind of trust that this is, actually, since it's being used in SLE and it's people that are serious who are talking about this, I think I feel safe. It's updated and I feel safe. And it really saves time. I don't have to worry about it. So, and my conclusion in that talk is don't hesitate to try and use it. You might hear it's not ready because you cannot build a Kubernetes cluster yet. You don't have everything you need to quickly, but you don't need that. I mean, many people, they don't need that. If you want to start using containers, if you want to play with containerization, you can just go ahead. It's ready for that. It's perfectly fine. And if you're actually interested for doing Kubernetes stuff, there are a lot of options there. You have the packages you can start deploying. You could try recipes from Salt. You can try even other solutions like trying to get kubeadm to work or even, I don't know, anything else crazy like using Ansible or Chef, whatever you want. So it's available for that. Thanks a lot. Any question?
Yeah, I have one question. So when you have a reboot schedule because you got your package updated, and then you do a transactional update package in something, then you create a new snapshot, and when you reboot, then you reboot in a snapshot where the updated packages are not in.
No, the packages are in because That's why I put remote manager status. That means if a reboot is scheduled, I would not install package. I would first reboot. I mean, the safe option is to reboot your system before starting to install packages.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure transactional update now gives a message when it's going to discard a snapshot because there's unapplied changes. So you're at least aware what's going on when you're doing it interactively.
So then my question is, can you actually, with one command, update, apply all updates, and install a package.
Sorry, again?
Yeah, because the updates would be lost, and I want to install a package. I want to save the reboot because maybe I'm also on this old HP server, so I want to have a create a single snapshot with updates plus my additional package I want to install. Maybe Ignaz knows.
Not with one single simple command, let's say. You can still call transactional update, for example, also transactional update up, and extended with an additional shell command, so transactional update up shell. This will give you a shell. It will first do the update itself, and then in that shell you can append whatever you want to do in that snapshot, because it will just execute all the commands doing in that before closing that snapshot and setting it to read only. And when you just install some packages, yeah, those will also be included in the snapshot then. Yeah, but it's a hack. It's a workaround.
So maybe a valid feature request is to chain the subcommands to transactional update.
That's not so simple, because you still have to separate all those commands. We have to know which snapshot was the last working good one, because if something breaks, we have to roll back. Paul just said it, it's a self-updating, self-healing system which just works out of the box. And we detect errors, which may happen, and we have to roll back. If you combine multiple commands, we don't know which was the last working snapshot.
You do the same when you call up plus the shell command, and then you do something, so you're atomic with both operations in one go. That's why I'm saying chain the subcommands to transactional update command, you know.
In the background, transactional update is just a wrapper around super. So you also can't call super update install. Can you? Yeah.
So, as Ignaz said, and as you mentioned, Cubic is kind of, you let it run and it will update automatically. Is it self-healing in the sense we push an update by mistake? I don't know, we are not able to mount some file system and we need to roll back quickly. Since there is a reboot manager, it will be automatically rebooted, and then the system is not able to properly boot completely. Is Cubic able to kind of self-heal and detect, I'm not able to fully reboot running, and then reboot automatically to the previous snapshot? Or is it something which could happen in the future?
Well, not to my knowledge, but I think Richard should answer that.
Yeah, kind of. So for those situations where it's like partially booted, so the operating system's fine, but some of your services haven't booted, there is a service called Health Check, which is installed by default, and looking for the kind of standard Docker Kubernetes services to make sure they're fine. So if they don't start up right, yes, it will work. Health Check is plugin aware, so you could make your own plugins to check other specific stuff for that. So if the machine can't boot at all, yeah, but at least then, of course, we have... Okay, if it doesn't come up at all, Ignaz has implemented a new check, so Grub will fix it. So, yeah, so in most cases, it's self-healing. Awesome. I didn't know about that. Any more questions?
Yesterday in the OpenSUSE conference, there was a workshop about building containers using build service.
Have you maybe tried, or do you have any idea if the same tooling is available also in Kubik, or not there yet?
For running the containers or building the containers?
For building them and pushing them to build service, like doing everything inside Kubik, not having Tumbleweed yet.
I would not use Kubik to build containers. I don't say it's the wrong or right, but I wouldn't. What I tried is to run containers from the build service, because it's basically a registry, and you just have to point to that registry when you're pulling the image instead of using the Docker Hub. Since Tumbleweed, if it works on Tumbleweed, it should also work on Kubik. But I wouldn't build containers. Maybe as part of a CI it makes sense, but I'm not sure. I don't know. Richard, okay. What do you think? Yeah. But the answer to your question is no, I have not tested that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.